two places this morning. Hebrews 11, Genesis 6. Please turn to Genesis 6. First, kick it over to Hebrews 11. We will start in Hebrews 11. Genesis 6, put a marker, put your finger there, going over to Hebrews 11, and going to kick it up. Come on, this is great. Folks, this is the deal. Our theme verse for this whole series is Luke 17:5. We're talking about the apostles. They are at the end of the road with Christ. Right, Christ is about to go to the cross, and they make this mind-blowing statement after all that they have seen, all that Jesus has done, and they come to this point to say, after walking with Jesus, seeing everything that Jesus has done, they bust out this statement and say, would you increase our faith? Incredible. After all that they've seen the miracle worker, the Son of God, the King of Kings do, and at the end they're saying, we're not done yet. Would you please increase our faith? Gang, this is where we want to be in our faith, to say, God, you're not done with me yet. God, there's so much more to do. God, I want to trust you in every area. Would you increase my faith? This year, gang, we're already seeing it. I'm getting calls from people saying, three words came to mind this week. He is able. Three words came to mind. He is able. Three words. He is able. We hear this over and over and over when things come up. And listen, we live in a world where things come up. We have got to come to this point to say, he is able. God, you've got this. God, I trust you. God, you are able. God, you see it. God, you know it. God, I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm in. God, you're able. Folks, that's huge. Listen, I'm asking you to pray with me. Father, we thank you for this morning. I am so grateful to this crew. I thank you for the hearts that are here this morning. God, I thank you that we would open our eyes to see exactly what we need to see from your word this morning. Father, open our understanding that it would be made crystal clear to us today. Take the blinders off. Take any confusion in our understanding out, that it would be crystal clear for us this morning. Father, I'm asking that every heart in this place would just be a sponge. It would just be hungry for your word. It would just, God, you would just speak to our hearts. Seeds would be planted and the seeds would grow. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. I'm asking that you ask God, would you please speak to me? Father, my heart is open. I've cleared my mind and I am so clear. God, I am ready to hear it this morning. God, would you speak to me today? Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter in regards to the men and women of faith that made it into the big heroes book. That's chapter 11 of Hebrews. This is, he is able, trusting in God through obedience. Walking in obedience and recognizing just what that really is. And we're going to see this by a man named Noah. Noah was an old dude. At this point, he's 500 years old. He lived to be 950. That's crazy, man. That's old. And look at this, verse 7 says this, by faith, Noah being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his family, for which he condemned the world, he became an heir of the righteousness which is among according to faith. For by faith, Noah being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark. Okay, you gotta see this story. What was so radical? Point number one of this message is radical obedience. You gotta understand, if we are going to trust God and put our hope in Him and honestly say, God, no matter what comes down the road for me, no matter where I'm at, God, I am going to trust you. God, if you put things in my heart, if I see things in Scripture that I know that I want to be radical in my obedience to your word. That is a crazy thought for today's day and age. Gang, that we would recognize what it is to walk in radical obedience. And then we look at this one man named Noah. By faith, Noah warned by God about things not yet seen. God came to Noah. Noah's 500 years old and said, Noah, you've got 120 years. You've got 120 years and I'm taking out the earth. And I'm taking out everything that breathes and everything that lives, everything that I have created on this earth, I'm wiping it out. The Bible, he says, I'm blotting it out. Done. Noah, you got 120 years to build an ark. You got to understand something, folks. Look at what it says. It says he was warned by God about things not yet seen. Noah, I'm going to cause a flood. No, it is going to rain from above, and it is going to rain from below, and I'm going to cause a flood, and I'm going to kill every living thing. This is a global flood. It's going to cover every area of the land, and everything that I have created is going to be destroyed, and it's going to perish by rain. Things not yet seen. You know what Noah has never seen? Rain. God, you want me to prepare an ark for a flood? Said it's going to rain. God, what's an ark? What's rain? What are you talking about? You talk about radical obedience. You talk about blind faith. You talk about one who says, God, I don't have any really idea what you're talking about. We live in a land where it has never rained. We live in a land where the heavens have not yet been cracked open to pour down rain. And you're asking me to build a boat because you're telling me that in 120 years, there will be no breath on this planet. Yep. That's what I'm telling you. Okay, he's 500. He has no family. He's got no kids. He has a wife, but he's got no kids. Okay, the greatest act of faith I can find in Scripture is that this 500-year-old dude has a saw and he begins to cut down gopher wood. Could you imagine that first tree that this guy cuts down in faith to build a boat for something that he's never seen before or ever experienced before, and he's got this saw in his hand and he's cutting down the first gopher tree, going, this is going to be a treat. Holy cow, I got 120 years, and this is the first piece. You ever start a project, and you know it's going to be a long project, and it's like the first thing, you're like, oh, this is going to take forever. Yeah, he knew how long it was. He got 120 years, built me a boat. It's going to be this long, it's going to be this wide, it's going to be this high. It's going to be, oh, you football fans, you take a football field, and then you take another half of a football field, that's 150 yards. That is a beast of the first boat ever built. And it's going to be 4 stories tall. It's going to be 3 decks. You're going to have 1 window in it. You're going to have 1 door. Now go cut down me some gopher wood. Oh, that is, whew, that is crazy dimensions, perfect dimensions for this floating vessel, because in exactly 120 years, it is going to flood and it's going to rain, Noah, like you have never, ever, ever seen. And it's going to happen. Well, you talk about radical obedience. You talk about radical faith. You talk about one who's never even seen rain. Yes, Lord. I got this. Hebrews 11:1 is the substance. Faith is the evidence or the substance of things not seen. It is the conviction, folks, of things unseen. When we apply our faith, at times it is to things. Listen, we don't need faith for the things that are seen. We don't need faith for things that are done past. We need faith for things that are unseen. We need faith for something that we are trusting and believing is going to take place, and yet it hasn't come about. Here you have this radical faith in Noah. He goes right back to the first verse of this chapter, chapter 11. For faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. Faith isn't something that produces evidence past. It's I haven't even seen this yet, but yet my faith is in this. Not one person in this room has seen heaven or have been there, but we are trusting in faith that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for me in which I am going to be joined with him, because that is my faith, man. That is my trust. That is my belief, and I take Jesus at his word. I don't need faith when I get to heaven. You know what you won't need in heaven is faith. Look at this. This is huge. For by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark. That is radical obedience. Come on, Genesis 6, please. We're going to go over this story, and it is a crazy, crazy story. And it is amazing that you get into this book and you realize that this is absolutely radically true. You want to read the most incredible, all-powerful, life-changing book? It is this, where you begin to see these real life accounts of what God and how God showed up, that increases our faith to say, God, it is amazing that you are that big, that you are that powerful, that you caused it to rain and you just flooded the entire creation. That's God. I mean, how do you lessen that? It's incredible.
Look at this, verse 5. We know that Noah has 120 years to build this vessel. And the Lord was sorry, look at verse 5, I'm sorry. And the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent and thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The Lord was sorry, this is huge. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created.
That's crazy. Could you imagine the theologians say at about this time there's about 1 million people on the earth. 1 million. And here you have this. You have God Almighty who has created man, that he comes to this position because of all the wickedness, because of all the evil, because the intent of every man's heart was evil continually. And God, the great creator, who created us to worship him, who created us for his glory, who created us to tend to the earth, that God, amazing, one true living God, who created all things, comes to the point because of the sins of mankind to say, I am sorry and I am grieved that I even created man. And this is a God who knows everything that was going to take place. How do you wrap your mind around that? How do you take that verse and chew on that for a while and say, God, you are a God who knows all things. You're a God who knows the beginning to the end. God, your timing is absolutely perfect. And here I see that you were grieved, that you were sorry because of the condition of mankind. It had to, how bad must it really have been to be that bad where it was evil continually, always, and every thought and every intent of every man, mankind, was always evil. Except for one man. Except for one man named Noah. Again, you hear that slogan, oh, you're one in a million. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not so good. You know, if a girl tells you, dude, you're like one in a million, and I don't want to go out with you. That's a bad sign, okay? That's not cool, right? That's no good for you, dude. But Noah was one in a million. And let's look at this, verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the records of the generations of Noah, for Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his time. And Noah walked with God. Could you imagine this? Talk about radical obedience. You talk about one man against a million. You talk about one man. One man. This is reality, man. This is the deal. You got one man who is right before God. Righteous is right before God. Righteous is to see what God says is right and wrong and to agree. Not what this says, not what that one says, not what the public opinion says, not what the politics say, not what this. God, it is what you say. I stand in the righteousness before you because, God, I'm going to be right according to what your standard of right and wrong is and not public opinion. It was one against a million, folks. This is huge when you look at the odds, that you have one man who was right before God, one man who was blameless in his time. All of us have a thing called time, your own time. Gang, you are in this generation and you have an opportunity in your time. You only have from the time that you were born of water and the time that you were born again, recognizing Jesus on the cross, recognizing my salvation. Yes, I'm saved by the cross. I get and understand what the blood has done for me. I know I have repented from my sin, and this is where I am born again. And then really, time of difference making begins. The Bible says when we take our last breath, after death comes judgment. There are no do-overs. There's no retakes. There's no second chance. This is the deal. And Noah, one in a million, in his time that he had breath, he was above reproach. He was a man of integrity. He was mature in the things of God, in his reverence for God, in his fear of God. The Bible says that he walked with God. He had a relationship with God. We look at this in our time, in the time that we have breath, in the time that we've come to know Christ, and we look at this and say, okay, God,
Am I one who is standing right before you? Am I one who is radically obedient to your word, saying, God, regardless of public opinion, regardless of this over there, regardless of that over there, God, I am going to be radical in my obedience to your word, and I will stand and agree with what you say is right and wrong, what you say the standard of what right is, God. And God, I want to be in my time, in the time that you've allowed me, in the time that I have, God, I want to be above reproach. God, I want to be one who is blameless. Listen, a million couldn't bring a charge against one. That's huge. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:5, the Bible says that Noah references Noah as a preacher of righteousness. Here he's hammering this boat out, this huge vessel, and for 120 years, he is the preacher of righteousness. Could you imagine this, gang? I thought about this morning, and it just blew me away. 120 years he is preaching. 120 years he's telling people to get right with God. 120 years he's building his boat saying, listen, the judgment of God is coming. The judgment of God is coming. God is angry. This is the deal. He's going to cause a flood. God is upset that he even created man. You guys got to get ready. You've got to turn. You've got to repent. And he preached 120 years he preached. And not one conversion. Are you kidding me? 120 years he was hammering out the word of God. And not one, besides his own household, not one turned back to God. 120 years of preaching. That blows me away. What were they thinking? How could they be so much against God? Nope. 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 Totally not me. Not really a God. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to do whatever I want. Nope, I don't see it that way. No, God's not going to judge. God's a loving, caring God. He's never going to judge. This isn't ever going to happen. Everybody goes to heaven. This is such a beautiful lollipop world we live in. It's just wonderful. And he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and not one. You talk about radical obedience, folks. You talk about radical obedience. He's hammering out this boat. He's hammering out this boat. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. There are things that we do that we just can't see. And we don't walk by what we see. We walk by faith. God, I am trusting that your word is true. Gang, do you realize that it is radical obedience to stand here before you and proclaim to you that Jesus is the only way, that Jesus is the King of Kings, and that if there are any who do not turn to Jesus will be bound in hell for all eternity. Do you realize that today's day and age that's radical? Mm-hmm. How dare you say that? There's many gods. There's many different ways. Well, my radical obedience is that God said and Jesus said through his word, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. And you start declaring that publicly. You know, it's radical obedience as a young person to look at Scripture and say, you know what? For me and my wife, or me and my husband one day, I'm going to walk this path of purity. I'm going to walk this path and keep myself clean. For one day, I will find my husband. One day, I'll find my wife, and I will stand before them in a white dress, say, I have waited for you on a radical obedience to the Word of God to say it's worth it to stay clean for my God. It's worth it to stay clean and obedience to be a virgin until I'm married. It is worth it to keep myself pure until that day I come to that man or that wife on that amazing night that God has joined us together. And you know what, gang? That is radical obedience. Crazy. You get mocked, you get picked on, you get laughed at, everybody's doing it. Public opinion. And for us to say, well, you know what? I'm going to have faith enough to rise above all of that to say, this is where I get my obedience from, and this is where I get my understanding from. And God says that I'm supposed to be clean, and I'm supposed to be pure until that amazing, because God wants the absolute, incredible, most amazing thing for your marriage one day. And that's a huge key to it. God knows what he's doing. And we look and say, God, you're able. God, I know it's tough. Temptation is hard. But God, I can get through this. God, I know that it's worth it. God, I know that I don't care what everyone else is doing. I don't care that they laugh at me. I don't care that they bring up that I'm a virgin. I don't care what they say. God, I'm walking in radical obedience to you. You know what? This is what I tell my kids all the time. You know what? At any moment, you can be just like them. But they can never be like you. That is so real. That is so real. That in a moment, in a night, you can be anything just like them. But they can never, ever be like you again. That's radical. Radical obedience. Radical today, folks. Noah stood alone. And there are times in our walk with God that we're just going to have to walk alone. Please, let me make a statement that is found in Matthew 7 that is very clear. And I make it in America, which our world was founded on this. I make it in America where we are salt and light. I make it in America where we have radio waves that are preaching God's word. We have television stations over and over that are preaching God's word. I make it in America. There's a church in every corner. I make it in America where we can stand here and worship and preach total free. Amen. Matthew 7 is that the true believers, the Christians, will always, always, always be in the minority. The Bible says, wide is the road, and many walk on that road, and it leads to destruction. Narrow is the road, and few walk on that road that lead to life. Let me prove it to you. You think for a minute. Your world, your workplace, your family, your circle, your neighborhood. You come up with who really has said, I am a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus died for me. And you look at the numbers, and we're in America. You look at who truly is, not who doesn't go to church. I'm not looking at who frequents a service. I'm looking for those who are born again, sold out to Jesus Christ. And you look in your world and you say, you know what? Greater are they in number than we. That's Matthew 7. And you look at this man named Noah, who was the only one amongst possibly a million people who said, I'm building this boat. Could you imagine this? God said, 120 years, dude, it's over. It's done. Noah had a choice, folks. Could you imagine if Noah said, public opinion, God, is pretty strong. I don't know, maybe I didn't hear you right. Maybe, God, I think that's a pretty big boat. I don't got time. You know what? It's just too big of a project. There's no way I can get this done. You know what would have happened in 120 years? The flood would have came, and guess who would have been swimming for his life? I see that in Scripture. I'm thinking, wow, he had to walk in obedience. He had to look at this and make a choice for himself to say, God, I am going to be radical. I'm going to do this. If no one else comes, I'm going to preach and do everything possible that I can do. And if no one else comes, God, I know what you spoke to me. I know what your word says, and I'm going to be radical, and I'm going to obey. And the Bible calls that great faith. Right in Hebrews 11, man, the history of the heroes of faith. Why? Because he had radical obedience to God's word. Incredible. Look at this. Come on. Back to Genesis 6. Incredible story. It's crazy. Verse 13, then God said to Noah, and the end of all flesh has come before me, and the earth is filled with violence because of them. Behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. He goes through the whole dimensions. And behold, verse 17, behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh, in which is the breath of life. From under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Verse 22 is huge. Highlight this, underline this, circle this. And Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. Mm-hmm. So he did. Mm-hmm. That's radical. You know what I want? I look at this and say, God, would it even be possible that Sean Oberfeld did according to all that God had commanded him? So Sean did. Renee Obergefell did all according to all that God had commanded her, so she did. Wouldn't it be amazing if there is a day that we stand before God, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Yeah, but God, I didn't convert one. I preached for 120 years and not one conversion. You were faithful. Noah, you did exactly what I've asked you to do. That is huge, folks. God calls us to be faithful. We stand before Him to answer for our faithfulness to His Word and being obedient to His Word. And He's looking for faithfulness. He's looking at one man who was righteous, one man who was blameless, one man who had a relationship with Him to say, you were faithful in what I've asked you to do. Crazy. Now get this. Radical obedience. Number two of this is this. Ta. Wow. Folks, you can't make it rain. You guys see, Noah built the ark. He worked for 120 years. He had kids. He was preaching. He was picked on. He was mocked. Right? You look at this in Genesis 7. This is so huge. In the 600th year, highlight this, 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, you talk about God's perfect timing. You talk about one who God knows your every day. God knows everything about your day. Look at this. Look at the timing. In the 600th year, on the second month, and the 17th day, to the exact day, God shows up. To the exact day, Noah, get on the boat. Noah, the boat is complete. Noah, this is the day. Get on the boat. You could imagine now that the family's on the boat, right? You could imagine now that they're waiting on the boat, and there might have been some question. Hey, Dad, this ain't going to float. I mean, did we hit this thing right? Did you miss, I don't know, Ham, did you miss a nail? I mean, I'm sure that there was right conversation going back, and Shem probably hitting Ham, and they're just going back and forth. And then all of a sudden, they look at this, verse 16. And those entered the ark, male and female, all flesh, entered as God has commanded him. I could imagine them looking out this humongous door. Man, they were bringing in animals. Like, this door had been pretty huge. And the door, I'm sure it was out, right? I mean, it couldn't be in. They had to get up to this. I imagine Ham is looking at Shem going, all right, dude, we're rock, scissors, paper to see who goes out and shuts this thing. Because once you shut it, you ain't getting in. I'll throw a rope from the window. Maybe we can get you up. Dad, how'd you think? How are we going to shut that door?
That's right.
And all of a sudden, okay. And it's amazing that when animals know and sense rain, what happens? Could you imagine that they're in the ark and all the animals are making a ruckus, and then all of a sudden the door shuts and all these animals begin to sit down? And for the first time ever, could you imagine about being in that ark when you begin to hear the rain begin to hit the top of the ark? I mean, what an amazing thought. For the first time in history, it begins to rain. And you hear it from the inside. And it's pelting the top of that boat. And listen, as Noah was preaching, I'm sure that he could see these faces, and he could see the eyes, and he understood faces, and he had a neighborhood, and he had people around him, and not one turned. Folks, we can do everything in our power, but we cannot make it rain. He couldn't make it rain, folks. He did everything in obedience and was faithful to exactly what God asked him to do. Folks, and we are a soul-winning church, and we're asking God to do work in this region. We're asking God to win the souls of the youngest to the oldest. We're asking God to move in a powerful way. You know what? He calls us to be faithful and obedient to His Word. He calls us to be salt and light. He calls us to do everything power. But how much, maybe it's just me, but how much is it when we try to do so much that we want to? We, out of a love for souls, we try to win the soul, and that's up to God. Noah couldn't make it rain, folks. We are called to do in an obedient faith what God has us to do. Look at point number three is this. Robin, you can come up. Folks, what's your ark? God has a purpose and a plan for every one of us. And sometimes it looks overwhelming. Sometimes it looks like, man, I don't know, God. I'm the only one who sees it that way. God, I'm the only one who really pictures this thing. Look at Psalm. I want to see you. Psalm 37 says this. I want you to see this. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way. That word commit, it means to roll over. You got to see this. We're talking about a task that is overwhelming. We're talking about an obedient faith amongst being in the minority and being obedient to his word and standing firm against things that are so clearly a violation of God's word. And yet I will stand firm and I will agree with God's word. And I will say, God, I want to be righteous according to what you call is right and wrong, that I would stand and agree with that. And the Bible says, commit, roll it over to him. Trust also in him and he will do it. Gang, this is a serious way when we say, God, what is in my ark? What is my ark? What is that thing that you've put upon me? And a purpose and a plan for me. That I at times have to radically be obedient and go against the crowd and go against the grain and go against public opinion and go against XYZ so that I would stand right before you. Folks, let me ask you this. Who's in your ark? Are we doing everything we can to be salt and light? Are we doing everything we can to be heartbroken for the lost? Are we doing everything we can for those who are so broken, for those who live in this fallen land, for those who have been so desperately hurt and violated and broken and are desperate and no one is reaching out to them and they have no hope? Are we crying out? Are we going after them in the name of Jesus, being salt and light and saying, would you please get into my ark? Would you please come with me? Would you please hear the truth? Would you understand that Jesus loves you? Would you understand that Jesus has the answer? Would you understand that God knows the position you're in? God knows your brokenness. He knows your hurt. He knows the shame. He knows exactly what you're going through. And God has the answers. And he is our hope. And we try to bring as many people as we possibly can get to come into our ark, just as Noah did. And we come and say, God, that's it. That's where I'm at. Seriously, folks. Commit your way to him. Trust in him. And he will do it. And please, we don't play church. We don't come in and check the box because I've done my weekend service. Gang, we want to challenge you every time you get in this place, every time you get before the Lord, that you walk out of this place fed and you walk out of this place just full and walk out of this place challenged to say, God, what is that thing? What is the thing that you've put before me that I have put to the side? Where is it that I see in Scripture that I've walked away from? Do I have that concern to bring as many people into my ark as I possibly can get? That we walk out of this place so different every single time than when we came in this place. That is our job. Hallelujah. Folks, let's stand up, please. Father, thank you for this word. God, I want our faith to increase in this place as a crew, as a family. God, I want us to be able to trust you in everything. I want us to see that, God, you were the one who called it to rain. You're the one who opened up the earth. You're the one who opened up the heavens, and it just poured down. God, you look at that picture, and there's nothing hard for you, God. God, you totally are in control. There's nothing difficult for you. Why would we be afraid? Why would we be ashamed when it is you who we belong to? It is you who've adopted us. It is you who we surrender to. It is you who we serve. What do we have to fear? Incredible God. Folks, what is that thing that is before you that you know? God, this is my ark. This is what you've put on my plate. And there are times I need to be radical and not be concerned about pleasing man and not be concerned about what other people think, but be consumed by what you've said. Folks, we're going to sing this last song, and I'm just asking that in this moment right here, you say, God, I will obey. Let my faith increase to that point where I can build the ark that I need to build. God, that I will fill my ark with as many people as possible, and I will preach, and I will be salt, and I will be light to my family. I will be light to the people around me. I will love them, and I will care for them, and I will walk in obedience. Incredible. Incredible. You know what I think? Sometimes one of the most radical steps of faith in and walking in obedience is to forgive somebody. Where they know they're wrong and they know what they've done, and they say, after all that I've done for you, you're going to love me and you're going to sincerely, authentically, genuinely forgive me. Folks, I think that's radical. I think that's radical obedience to walk in a place to forgive those who have come against you, to forgive those who have hurt you, to forgive those who have lied about you, to forgive those who have tried to destroy you. And it is radical to say, I love you and I forgive you. That's incredible. Come on, let's cry out in this last song.